Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you for your love and kindness for us. And Father, we see here these verses that are very, very important, very profound in understanding them. And Father, it's a real challenge in our lives, and we pray that you'd help us to live out the challenge and help us be everything you want us to be. We pray also, Lord, that you bless this study. We pray that you speak to all of our hearts. Give us understanding concerning these verses. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 13, and we pick up here in verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, that thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. All right, thank you. You may be seated. We find that it's easy to be enthusiastic and rather than being obedient. And people get all excited with things. You know, they're going to start this diet, and they're going to, you know, start this business, and the, you know, they're all excited and so on. And then they start getting into the nitty gritty, and it takes discipline to succeed. And discipline to follow up when it's not the norm. And the text bears this out in Romans chapter 7. And let's turn there, please. Romans 7, verse 14. The Bible says in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, for I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not, and what I hate, that do I. So Paul is telling about, you know, working out our salvation, not working for our salvation, but rather working it out in our lives. And he says there's struggles. It's part of the human nature. And there's things that, you know, we say we want to do. We get all excited. Next thing you know, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. I'm going to spend, you know, a half hour reading my Bible. Next thing you know, they miss a Wednesday, they miss a Saturday, and then it starts snowballing. Next thing you know, they don't read the Bible as they ought. So obedience to the Lord is very important. It's every honest child of God knows this is true about their life, the importance of being disciplined and, you know, not giving up and not praying and so on. Now, every honest Christian knows this. Sobering truth applies to his own life. In 1 John 3, let's turn there, please. 1 John 3, and notice verse 22. I think of the first verse I memorized as a Christian. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So this speaks about obedience. And it's being pleasing to the Lord. And obedience is the heart of every faithful Christian. Obedience demands its compliance. It's yielding to what the Scriptures teach. And this is the understanding concerning being saved or born again, that we'll comply, we'll yield, we'll surrender to do God's will. Now notice a couple of verses. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove of that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is the goal of every child of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove of that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. And then notice, if you would, not only in chapter 12, but let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And notice with me verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So again, the thought here is this, is we're responsible to do the will of God for our lives. Now, you say, well, how do you know what the will of God is? It's simply this, beloved, I say with all sincerity, it's what the Bible says. And we've got to conform to the image of Christ. We've got to be obedient to the Word of God. Notice another verse here in 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. And again, God is speaking about His will. And verse John chapter 2, and notice verse 17. John has just said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father, and not him. And then he said in verse 17, the world passeth away. You understand that? There's going to be no more world here. God's going to renew the world. And he said, the lust thereof, that's all going to depart. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So again, it's essential that you, each and every individual, seeking to do God's will for their life. So we may struggle to be obedient. Then this is when the Holy Spirit will convict us, deal with us concerning submission. And if you have the Holy Spirit abiding in your life, the Spirit of God is going to deal with your heart. Notice back here in Romans chapter 7, Romans 7, please, and we'll see verse 24. Romans chapter 7, verse 24, and the Bible says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So we're all wretched men. We fall short of what God wants man to be, and that's perfect. But one day we will be perfect. We'll be out of this body. We'll have new bodies. We'll be perfect forevermore. Notice verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So watch this. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That does not give us a right to say, well, see, the Bible says, I'm going to serve with my body. I can't help it. I'm a sinner. Well, he does. You're going to help him because he said in the next two verses in Romans chapter 6, I'm sorry, let's go back to chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then notice, if you would, verse 18, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. So we've been made free. We don't have the same bondage that we once were in after salvation. And so then Paul goes on and tells us here again in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God wants us to live in such a way that people see that we've been changed, that we're converted, that we're in Christ, that we are born again, born from above. All these different terms that God uses to describe the child of God. So the first thing we see today in Exodus chapter 13, I'm sorry, Exodus, Romans chapter 13, notice verse 8, we see the exhortation. Verse 8, the Bible says, owe no man anything. So we see the negative aspects. This is not forbidding a child of God to borrow money on a house or a car, etc. It's better off if you can pay cash. But honestly, there's very few people that I know of that could pay cash. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong. But may I say this? You've got to make sure that you pay back the debt. And second of all, we're to be faithful and responsible to pay every penny that we borrowed. Now, let me just say this. Credit card debt, store credit is unnecessary. And I know people get themselves in all sorts of problems. It could be physical or financial bondage, but we ought to pay our bills. And if you are unable to call the person that you owe, see if you can work out a plan. I mean, give them a call. Let them know, look, I'm behind. I got laid off. I have a problem, a difficulty. I had to pay this bill. Communicate with people. I know this years back. It's so important to communicate with people. Don't hide from a creditor who is looking to be paid. Remember this. There's an old saying, inch by inch is a cinch. Yard by yard, it's hard. And you cannot afford to eat out, then don't. Restrain yourself. You know, just saying we don't have the money for it. And we're going to pay off our bill, get out of debt, and then we'll move on. Now, if you owe money, you must pay before you take off, like on a vacation. I mean, why would you owe money to someone and then live like you're debt-free? You don't want to do that. And failure in this has to be considered to be a bad testimony. Now, those verse 8 of chapter 13, the Bible says, owe no man anything. And living without restraint, may I say this, I think it's coveting and lusting after materials. And just because you cannot afford it doesn't mean you won't afford it later on. Sometimes people try to keep up with others, maybe other church members, families, neighbors, etc. This is not spirit-filled nor spirit-controlled living. And so we got to consider what the Bible says, owe no man anything. But a positive aspect, the Bible says love is the one debt you will never pay back. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So loving is a great thing, and the Bible tells us that we need to love people. Now, those back here in Matthew chapter 18, I was telling my wife yesterday, there's so much we've been preaching on about love. And, you know, love is a wonderful thing. It's something that Christians should do. Now, notice chapter 18, verse 21. God tells us here in verse 21, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So 70 times seven is 490. In other words, it's not 490, but rather you've got to keep forgiving. Got to keep forgiving. Got to keep forgiving. And we've been through this before. People forfeit things. You say, well, you know, I'm going to forgive them. They haven't apologized to me, but I'm going to forgive them anyway. And you should. Don't have issues in your heart concerning someone else, some of the family, whatever it may be. Don't do that, because you're hurting yourself spiritually. You're hurting yourself physically. And don't be that way. And God goes on and says here in his word in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So the thought is, you know, keep forgiving, keep forgiving, keep forgiving. And the Bible mentions this two different times in the gospel where people came and asked Jesus, you know, how much should we forgive? How long to forgive? What the whole life? You forgive. And again, the idea is that there may be some conditions because of that person has not apologized to you. And sometimes they'll never apologize. Part of life. But I've learned this early in my Christian life. You've got to forgive people. You've got to move on. You know, that's their problem. And God sees it all. God's not oblivious. God doesn't say, oh, I didn't see that. I mean, God sees everything. He knows everything. So for you to hang on to, well, they hurt my feelings. I get it. I get it. I get it. It's happened to me. And I probably hurt a lot of people's feelings. Oh, you're not going to answer, huh? That's right. But you know, you do. We live in an offensive world. And especially in our day and age, people get offended over everything. know, if you're a Democrat, oh, I'm offended. Oh, I'm offended. Get over it. Don't get involved. We're going to trust the Lord. Amen? Regardless of what happens. So, you know, we're to never stop loving people. We're to care about people. And love is a proof for the child of God that they love God, they love their family, they love the brethren, and they love their enemies. John 13, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. So then we see number two, and this is moving fast, I told you, the evaluation. And notice back in our text, Romans chapter 13 and verse 8b to 9a, he says, oh, no man, anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we see letter A, the expression. And he tells us here in 8b, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So he that loveth another has fulfilled the law, is doing what the law says. And the embrace of the Ten Commandments, the first four considered towards God, and the last six commandments are our responsibility to follow you know, the commandment towards our fellow man. So think about the commandments: honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, don't bear false witness, don't be a liar, and don't covet, which we covered this morning. And so the idea here is that if you're keeping the commandments, you're saying, I love my neighbor, I love my fellow man. Because why would someone, you know, kill someone? It's done out of anger. They first get angry with the person, and they retaliate. And I realize people get hit by cars, I understand that. But I'm saying in murder, that's not kill, that's what they do. Why would someone commit adultery? Because they don't love their neighbor. Why would someone, you know, steal? They don't love their neighbor. Why would someone bear false witness? Why would someone lie? They don't love their neighbor. Why would someone covet? The Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, wife, barns, whatever the thing he says. And so we're not to be that way. Now, he gets into specifics here. We see here the not only the expression, but notice the elaboration. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we'll not lust after our neighbor's wife. Now, you're unfaithful to your marriage vows if you're living in lust. Not love, but lust. When you live in love, you're going to care about that other person. You're going to have concern. You want the best for them. But when you live in lust, you're not thinking right, and you're breaking the commandments. If a person approaches you and tries to get you to do something contrary to the word, it's not because he loves you. He loves himself. Now understand that. And I say that, gentlemen, ladies, it's important to have protection up, to have a you know, where you talk about entering another person's space. Don't do that. Don't be, I've met people get right in my face and, hey, back off, bud. I said that to a woman. I was just kidding. But the thing is this, is that you don't want to get in someone else's grill or someone else's face. You need to have space. You know, the ladies around here are ladies. And we need to be very careful with that. And there may be someone who comes in and winds up being a member of our church that may be first flirtation. But gentlemen, you got to run from that. What the book of Proverbs tells us, you know, she entraps the man. Just like a man can entrap a woman. And if you're doing that, you're not motivated by love. It's lust. The Bible tells us about this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. And again, we have to consider our roles. What does the Bible say? In Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what God tells us. If you're a married man, you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So God holds you accountable for your love for the wife as Christ loved the church. Now, he's not speaking about just any church. He's speaking about his church. A lot of church in the world, but not all of God. So we've got to understand that. And then notice he says in verse 21, he says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's what people do. A husband and wife, they yield themselves. They submit themselves. They are seeking to do God's will. Why? Because they know that they're saved by God's grace. The man saved, the wife saved, and they're to do God's will, submitting one to another. So I thought my wife was going to submit to me. Well, ultimately, you have the final say. But you also have the final judgment. Amen. You'll answer for your family. You'll answer about how you treated your wife. Jesus compares your wife to the New Testament church. So let me ask you this. Has Jesus ever mistreated the church? I don't think so. He's always been kind. He's been honest. But he's always been kind to the church. Even in its when it's a situation where they're far from God, or they fell out of love with Jesus Christ, or you know they're deceived, he's always been kind to them. Even the church of Corinth, Jesus was kind to that church. He spoke the truth, but he was kind to them. So we need to be kind to our wives, and then we submit ourselves in what? The fear of God. And I'll tell you, the way men treat their wives sometimes, you say, don't you fear God? Don't you know that God's looking upon you, watching your life, listening to words that proceed from your mouth? This is a kind of a forerunner to April. Everyone's going to start getting ready for April. It's like, you know, treating their wives nice and all that. No, I know you do. And then he said, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So we're to submit to our husbands as you submit to Christ. Well, I don't think this is right. I'm putting my foot down and so on. Is that what you do with God? Is that what you tell the Lord? May I use the term I used this morning? You're a fool. You don't do that to God, nor should you do it to your husband. Amen. So if couples would just yield themselves to their responsibility before the Lord, a lot of problems would be resolved. If everyone just gets in their position, the husband, the wife, the children, and when a person seeks to tamper with a marriage, they invoke God's wrath upon them. Now notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 13, and notice, if you would, verse 4. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, please. And the Bible tells us marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Listen to this. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So he said, well, that's what I am. I'm a whoremonger. I'm adulterer. Well, you know, just plan on God judging you. That's going to happen. You put yourself in a position for God to judge you. Now, if couples, again, we yield themselves, that's the key. A man, a wife, and the children, they just yield themselves. Get in the right position and be everything God wants to be. You're not going to worry about it. Well, what am I going to do? My wife, she's not submitting. Just get in your position. You got to leave your home. You got to sit down and talk to her. But you got to set the example. With the wife, she's got to submit herself. And she said, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm standing up in my heart. That's not right. Don't do that. Don't rebel. And again, you know, that whole problem will be resolved if people just get in their roles. Number two, he says, and let's go back to Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. He tells us, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. So think about what God says here. We're forbidden to kill unless there's a case of self-defense. That's understood, right? So if someone breaks into your home who's going to harm you and your family, you got to, you know, take proper actions. But may I say this? Jesus expanded this in the New Testament where he said, if you have anger in your heart. So you say, well, you know, I had anger and I get like that and then I get back my right mind. Why would you be out of your mind? Don't allow anger to have a place in your heart. Now, the Bible tells us, be angry and sin not. There is such a thing as righteous anger. You can be angry over, you know, abortion. You can be angry over people dying. I tell you, I'm disturbed at, you know, people dying in the different areas of our country. And what violence. I mean, to me, this stuff in Chicago has gone on for too long. I'd go in there, if I had to, in the National Guard and clean it out. The people are dying. Every weekend there's about 80-100 people shot. I mean, it's lunacy. Not in America. That should be in a third world country. Well, the problem is drugs. No, the problem is man's heart. That's the problem. And then he says in verse 9, we're not to steal. So it is a divine right to acquire things. You do not have the right to take things or steal things. That should be a principle for your life. Young people, don't get in the habit of taking things that don't belong to you. And men and women, don't be in the habit of saying, oh, I'll just take this. They don't need this. Oh, they have that. They have a lot. Don't do that. Children, don't do that with your parents. Be upfront. Be honest. Then God tells us here in verse 9, we're not to bear false witness. One of the best things that you can possess is a good name. And the Bible tells us it's one of the most precious things. God tells in Proverbs 22:1. How does that verse go? Thank you. It's, a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. You know, if you have a name, if you're known as an upright person, as a godly person, to me that's invaluable. It's invaluable. Daniel had that. Joseph had that. He was invaluable. And that's what we should seek after, to be, you know, considered, oh, that person, I know them. They would never do that. Now, this deals with lying, gossiping, and assassinating the character of someone. You know, people, it was horrible what people said about Rush Limbaugh after he died. I didn't read this. Some people told me about this morning. They were just saying, oh, you know, they're happy he's dead. You know, so I'm thinking, how can you be human and have such hatred towards him? You know, I didn't like his politics. That's fine. You know, I didn't like, who was the Supreme Court woman that died? Ginsburg. Thank you. I heard all these words. I'm thinking, I'm waiting for it. Come in. But Ginsburg, I wasn't happy she died. Why? There's another life, beloved. You either go to heaven or hell. And, you know, I dread when I see people die because then they enter eternity. And to me, it's frightening when people dying without Christ. Jesus, this is godly. God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Think of that. God doesn't rejoice if people die and go off to hell. So if you're going to be godly, you've got to change your thinking around. Well, there are politics and so on. It doesn't matter what the politics are. It'd probably be best for you to stay out of it. Stop getting around and just shoot your mouth off because, you know, I saw this article. And forget it. May I say this? I said this all since said. Many times we don't know what we're talking about. We have no idea. You think you do because you heard it on CNN or Fox or whatever. You don't know. Remember, there's wickedness in high places. That's what the Bible says. And I'm going to go with God on that. And then he says the fifth thing is we're not to covet. That envy is connected with covetousness. So think about people coveting after things. It's idolatry. And then God tells us, third of all, the explanation. Notice verse 9, the second part, he tells us it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfilling of the law. So see, it's important, beloved, that we love one another, that we are concerned and care for one another. God said in Matthew 22, the greatest commandment is to love God with all the heart, mind, soul, and body, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So I don't rejoice, beloved. I'll tell you, it breaks my heart when I see, you know, people protesting, but not protesting, but rioting that we had all last summer. You know, I don't want to see that. People died. People lost their lives. Just like the, you know, what happened in it wasn't an insurrection, but anyway, that's what they said it was, and you tell a lie long enough, people believe it. But it was wrong. That woman who was protesting was shot. Nothing happened to the man, but she was shot. So, well, she shouldn't be protesting. What do you mean, shouldn't? That's a right as an American. You're allowed to protest. But all this other stuff of violence, it's wrong. Breaks my heart. You know, people saying things about people who get locked up, people who die. You know, it's wrong, beloved. We're not loving. We don't care like we should. And the Bible tells our neighbor is anyone who we have contact with. It's believers have a selfless view of others and their welfare. They will obey. Notice he says here in verse 10, chapter 13, he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So I'm going to get back. No. Remember the Bible says you pouring coals upon their head? You know, you're shaming them by living right and doing right and being kind to them. So many nominal Christians lead outward moral lives to the hope of pleasing God or their concern of what people think of them. Let's look at one verse, we'll close. Let's go to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. And notice, if you would, verse 13. In Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw nigh me with their mouths, and with their lips do honor me, but they remove their heart far from me, for their fear towards me is taught by the precept of man. So the idea is that their mouth, their words, oh, I love God, I serve God, but their lives, they don't. They're called hypocrites. You know, they say one thing, do another. Jesus quoted that in the New Testament. So the challenge to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, the Bible says the first one is love, and love fulfills the Lord's golden rule and the Lord's royal law. And we need to make sure that we're are in love with the Lord and with our neighbor. And you say, well, preacher, I'm almost with all the neighbors, but I have this one problem with this church member. I have this one problem with this person. Well, listen, the Bible says love the brethren. And if you don't, you're in darkness. As God says, he's very plain about it. So how important it is that we love one another. All right, let's stand on our feet, please.